dude, low quality recording. SD card filled up, just did a bunch of vinyl countdowns at Joel's house. Now I'm using his extra SD card, this little, so I'm recording to MP3 instead of WAVE. Boring technical details that you'll never care about or notice. But dude, I was walking home from Joel's place. We've been there a long time. It's like 3 in the morning. I'm drunk and I'm high and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to be stuck with my thoughts. Don't want to think about my life and the mistakes I've made and the zizzy and the blah, 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 blah. Wish I had my MP3 player so much. I would just put on some music or, better yet, a podcast of some kind and let it take my mind away from my trails and tribulations. My troubles. Trials. I was actually thinking, though, my trials, man, they're sad compared to actual hardworking people of the past. My trials don't count as trials, but I just was like, my brain, I'm tired of my brain, I can't deal with it. Hanging out with my friends, that was fine. Listening to someone blab, that'd be fine. By myself, that's not fine at all. But I checked out my pockets and I didn't have my MP3 player with me. I'm like, dude, how did I do that? That's ridiculous. Did I leave it at home? Did I leave it at Joel's? That sucks. So I resigned myself to my fate. Just walked for another 5-10 minutes till I got to Trinity Bellwoods. I'm just like, oh, this sucks. And then I reached up to my collar. This MP3 player I got is a Sony Walkman thing. Little clip on. It was clipped to my collar. Lucky I didn't knock it off and just lose it. So that was a miracle. A tiny little miracle. Now I've got my recorder thing for the way home. But then I was so happy about that. I was like, I got this recorder because of Vinyl Countdown. I should do an episode of AM Radio now. But clearly I didn't have very much to say. So here's a song that I like. I rewatched the first season of Flight of the Conchords, and that show's real good. And the song Inner City Pressure is so good. It's like a Pet Shop Boys parody. It's fucking so good. Oh, alright, well, I'll do the rest of the show later. But hey, I got my recorder, man. My fucking MP3 player. That's cool. I'm gonna listen to that. Goodbye.
City life, inner city pressure, the concrete world is starting to get you. The city is alive, the city is expanding, living in the city can be demanding. You've pawned everything, everything you own, your toothbrush jar and a camera phone. You don't know where you're going, you cross the street. You don't know why you did, you walk back across the street. Standing in the sitting room, totally skint, and your favorite jersey is covered in lint. You want to sit down, but you sold your chair, so you just stand there. You just stand there. Pressure.
Counting coins on the counter of the 7-Eleven, from a 6:15 till a 6:45. The manager, Bevan, starts to abuse me. Hey man, I just want some muesli. Neon signs, hidden messages, questions, answers, fetishes. You know you're not in high finance, considering secondhand underpants. Check your mind, how'd it get so bad? What happened to those other underpants you had? Look in your pockets, haven't found a cent yet. Lanterns on your balls, have you paid your rent yet?
Inner city pressure. Inner city pressure.
Just to pay for your lessons, you're learning the flute. Ladies wouldn't pay you very much for this. Looks like you'll never be a concert flautist.
You don't measure up to the expectation. When you're unemployed, there's no vacation. No one cares, no one sympathizes. You just stay home and play synthesizers.
Pressure.
Couple days after that last recording, and it was raining that day, which took out a lot of the snow, and then it rained like crazy yesterday. Oh, there's a little tiny pile of snow, but like all the snow is basically gone. I woke up at like 5:30 in the morning. I usually sleep with earplugs in, just fine to sleep better. So I pulled them out and I could hear rain just like all of a sudden, which confirms that my earplugs are pretty good, and I was just cool. I was like, nice. I looked out the window, just watched the snow being obliterated. So even though it's mid-January and we didn't have a bad snowstorm until about 3 weeks ago, it is totally gone. It's probably like 8 or 9 degrees out. It's just fucking ridiculously nice for winter. I'm on my way downtown to go see a show by the Mustard Mike's sketch comedy troupe. Stop at a coffee shop first, do some writing. I've really been thinking lately how this sort of little method I've picked up on that makes writing so much easier and more fun. It's really similar to video game design. It seems like whenever I hear a video game developer talking about different iterations of the design and how things don't need to come together until the last like 90, like until it's 90% done, I think I picked up on some of their techniques. It's weird because I'm interested in video games and video game design, and I listen to podcasts about it all the time, and I was never sure why. For years I've been doing this and I'm like, I don't know why, because I'm not a video game designer and it seems unlikely my life's going to go in that direction in any way. I mean, I just figured it's just because I grew up with video games and I'm interested in them, which is true. But I think there's something about the way a video game is put together that I think makes sense to my brain as a way to put lots of things together. Because now that I think about it, that's how I do XO also. Split it up into different folders, little sections. And once everything is finished, put it all together at the end. I don't know, it works really well with writing. Like when you've got, I'm going through like some of my older writing, and if you got a big block of writing, it's like, fuck, what do I do with this? Like you just kind of got to hope it came out real good the first time, because it's so hard to edit and alter. Like the fundamental structure of it is kind of stuck. You know, if you're reading it, you just got this vague sense that, like, this isn't totally working, or this isn't all that great. But it's this big monolith, just, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 words all crammed together, and it's like, fuck, what do I do with this? So it's been very helpful to keep everything separate as long as possible in little tiny pieces that can then be put together at the end. And it makes editing just so much easier and so much more fun. Like instead of writing a story straight through, just starting at the beginning and just going straight through, like to me that feels like a pushing a plow through the dirt, just pushing it in a straight line, and you just wear yourself out and eventually you can't push it anymore. And it's just, there's nowhere to get a grip onto it. Or it's hard to keep it even in your mind exactly. You just look at this big batch of text and you're like, whoa. You know, you can only read through that type of shit so often until you just can't stand it anymore. And it's like, it's hard work. It's way too much work. It's like ineffective use of time and of mental labor. But if you have all these little bits, just little folders and little paragraphs, little rough ideas, then it's just like, it's effortless. Like there's no block, there's no difficulty. Like, I'll just flip through stuff and just read through a bunch of things, and something will always click in, and something will, like, oh yeah, I got an idea for that. And then there's so many points to grip onto, just so many little areas to leap in, and then I just start writing, it just starts flowing, and I'll just write a bunch of stuff for that, and then another little thing, have an idea for that. Next thing you know, it's like 3.5 hours later, and I've been working the whole time. It's fucking awesome. And it's, like, a lot easier, too, to do just, like, discovery type shit. Like, just, you have an idea, and you just write it down, but it's not a part of the larger work yet. It's still in its own little satellite. So it could be bad. It could just be crazy. I could read it the next day and just be like, that's nuts. Like, I just did that the other day. I came up with this idea for this one story I'm working on. I guess there's no point getting all into what it is, but next day I was like, that was nuts. That's way too much. That character wouldn't do that shit. But then I wheeled it down, ratcheted it down a bunch, and then worked it in, and it was great. And I heard the two guys lately, I guess I've been thinking of a lot, is Ken Levine on the video game side, when he talks about the development of Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite. It's a lot of this, like, how much they've changed throughout the process and how fluid they were until right to the end. And just iterations and iterations and just combing over things over and over, changing things until everything finally settles into place. And just the other day, I heard an interview with Vince Gilligan, the guy behind Breaking Bad. And he was talking about all the crazy shit he almost did in that show. Like, he almost made Walt, like, super crazy right at the end of season one. Except there was a writer's strike, and it sort of rescued him from making that mistake. But he said his writers do that all the time. Like, they'll just come up with some crazy shit that's like, that's ridiculous, there's no way. And it's true, they don't do this stuff, but the way he put it is, like, you need to travel there to know you don't want to go there. You know, you got to put that point on the map before you can go, like, now. It's a silly place. Let's not go there. I don't know. I feel like, if I can stick with this for, like, a year, if it still works, because it's unbelievable how much productivity I've just sort of unlocked lately. I feel like books on writing are never really that helpful. And my book on writing would still not be especially helpful, because I don't think I said this before, but I think you're a good writer or you're not. You can't learn to be a good writer. You got it or you don't. You can learn to be better, but, you know, like, I guess an okay writer can learn to be good, but a good writer can't learn to be great. I think I heard somewhere. I think that's true. The great writers, you got the brain for it or you don't. But insofar as productivity goes, I feel like I figured out a lot of shit lately that would make a good, like, pamphlet. Like a little 70-page book or something. I think that'd be cool. Maybe if I ever get some stuff published, then I'll have a little cachet. Then I'll write my little pamphlet. Alright, so, speaking of, almost at a coffee shop, so I'm gonna stop and do some writing before I go to Mike's thing. So I'm gonna play another Flight of the Conchords song. This is one of their earlier songs. It's called the Bus Driver's Song, I think. Yeah. And it's not really a funny song so much. It's actually, like, it's kind of sad. But there's this one guy in the audience who just can't stop laughing because he's at a comedy-type show, so he just can't stop with the obnoxious laughing. Like a fucking idiot. But yeah, the song kind of surprised me, because as you're listening to it, it's like, oh, that's actually kind of a interesting little story in this song. So there's the Bus Driver song by Flight of the Conchords.
G'day, my name's Tony. On behalf of myself and the coach line, I'd like to thank you for choosing to drive with us today. I'm a local, hope I can impart some of my local knowledge. If you've got any questions, don't hesitate, just to sing out. Those who are interested, there's the old bridge swaying away, replaced by the new bridge in 1972. Funny thing, the old bridge used to be called the new bridge. Yeah, a bit of a funny thing. Up ahead, there's the Bronzer Bluey, a local sheepdog who became a member of regional council. It's a bloody great day for dogs, not just here but everywhere in the North Island. It's the town's oldest street, that's the Museum of Meat. There's the town's largest industry, that's the sock factory, hence the giant sock. The town hall, note the mosaic wall. Well, there are 5,600 tiles on that wall. I know, I counted them all. A local school, a local swimming pool, which was opened by the Governor General back in 1952. Where I was caught with a friend, H11, sniffing tractor fuel. We thought we were pretty cool, breaking them change and shed rules. But do you see up there, the banner hanging in the air, the Presbyterian Fair? Well, I never go, there's too many Presbyterians there. But if you're interested, the fair's in the third weekend of August every year. But don't bother entering the raffle, it's always won by some kid of the mayor. Well, do you hear that sound? The town clock heard from anywhere in town. Until 1960, it was a little place in Norway. We bought it for £100. Rumour has it they sold it cheap because the chimes were too loud. But every time I hear that sound, it makes me so proud. I look to your left, what a beautiful sight. It's Paula, Paula Thompson. Neat Paula rides. Look at her hair, it's still gorgeous even now. Flowing like the Wamahunga River, which incidentally is to your right, and is the largest in the area in terms of volume. Everybody, look at Paula, look at Paula Thompson. I always thought I'd marry Paula, but some things just don't work out that way. Well, that's the most important thing you'll learn on the tour today. That and the fact that there'll be a toilet break at the information center near the man-made lake. Yeah, just ask you one favour. If you do see Paula in town later on, that you don't mention the details of the tour, I'd appreciate that. Same goes for my wife, Gloria. You'll recognise her. She looks a hell of a lot like Paula, actually. She often gets mistaken for Paula, but she's not Paula, that's for sure. No.
Paula Thompson, born in 54, to a family of four, to the family next door. Take me back next door. Paula Thompson, need Paula Wright. That's her own house, number 39. Number 41 was mine. If this old coach could go back in time, I'd drive to 1979. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back. Take me back.
Take me back. Yeah, sorry about that. Always get a little bit emotional on the corner of Rutherford and Brown Streets. But that is truly the end of the tour, so mind your step. Yeah, good on you.
Alright, it's another couple of days later. It's fucking early as shit. This bunch of kids going to school. It's weird to think I used to always get up this early. When I was a youngster going to school. Man, I just saw A Christmas Story the other day with the lads. Well, I guess it would have been last month for Christmas. I've never seen that movie before, and I guess it's set in, I don't even know when, because like the 30s, 40s, 50s, it all starts to blend together to me. But somewhere in there, and it is amazing how much, I felt this way when I saw Mad Men also, how much it reminded me of my house growing up. I think my mom was really into that sort of era. So even the weird old stove that they had, that's just like this flat top stove, is that what you call it? But it's like black with these big like round circles, and you'd get this prior thing, this other like this metal hook like handle that you'd put in to pry the tops up. We didn't really use it as a stove, but we had one just kicking around. And the old washer with like a ringer, two big circular ringers at the top to use for laundry. And again, I don't think we really used it, but we just had one around. The house just looked like that. And we had the wood stove like in that movie. The furnace, I mean. But yeah, I mean, big old drafty house. Getting up in the morning, cold as fuck. New Brunswick. Eating oatmeal. Going to school. Fuck. Fuck, man. I don't know. I mean, sure, we didn't have it tough like people had in the olden days, but I mean, it still sucked. But one thing I learned yesterday is I went to bed late. I stayed up really late, and then I got up early before the sun rose, and that was a mistake. Like, I woke up, and I was just like, ah, fuck it, I'll just get up. See if I can push my way through. Went down to the old coffee shop, got a coffee, did some writing. I still got over the throughout the day about 2 hours of writing done, but way less productive just because I was so tired. And then I could never get back into any kind of swing. I would have these weird little naps throughout the day, but I just felt awful all day and like really depressed. And I think it had to only have been because I didn't get enough sleep, because nothing has changed in my life really from today or from 2 days ago. Just this one day in the middle where, I mean, normally if I'm a little down in the dumps, I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's like, I recognize that it's not like what you would call depression, but holy fuck, yesterday, just bad. Just like, fuck, this blows. So I think I gotta not get up before the sun. You know, go to bed early helps as well, but at least sleep in till the sun comes up, for Christ's sake. So yesterday I went to bed stupid early, and I woke up before the sun came up, but I was like, fuck that. Went back to bed. Now here we are. God, this is like the most boring podcast in the whole world. I don't know why anyone listens to this at all. All right, well, let's wake up with some music. This is a band called Gallows that, did I play them a little while ago? I don't know. Anyway, I think I did, because I used to medium like them, never really got into them that much. But then their singer left to go start a really lame, soft band that I don't like. So they got a new singer who happens to be Wade from Alexis on Fire. Yeah, definitely. Talked about this probably in the last episode. Anyway, I really like the album they did with him. And it is some good fucking wake-up music. Alright, I'm gonna play two songs. So I'm gonna play one called Depravers. And then before that, I'm gonna play this song called Victim Culture. The part where the guy sings about fear in the future is fucking cool. So here's some Gallows.
Do you think they're out to get you? Do you often become ill? Are your nerves in poor condition? Are you living off of pills? Do you suffer nervous breakdowns? Are you frightened for your life? Are you often plagued by nightmares? Can you see through the night? Have you told lies about the process? Are you convinced they're inside your head? Are you feeling persecuted? Are you afraid you'll end up dead? Do you feel your brain laughed at? Do you feel so paranoid that you'd see our symbols shattered?
Just suck out!
Just went to the Duff Mall. Not the ideal place to hang out and write, but at least they got that big skylight. I think that helps get some natural sunlight. Don't go at lunchtime though. Holy shit, it's full of fucking kids. Didn't even think of that. But luckily they cleared out. Man, I remember when I was in junior high, I used to go to my friend's house and watch Batman the Animated Series. But to get back to school on time, we had to leave like 20 minutes into the episode. That sucks. It's just all those days I could have watched the end of Batman I didn't get to. It's bullshit. I wonder, like, people think, like, oh, if I could go back to school, if I knew then what I know now. Honestly, in a lot of ways, I don't know much more now than I used to. I think what I know is that social pressure is extremely tough to overcome. And even I don't believe things would really be different if people could go back and relive their school days. I think for the most part, they would just revert back to being a kid pretty fast. But I think I might hold on to stuff like that. Like, I think I would be late to watch Batman. I'd be like, fuck it. Although, see, again, like, they used to lock the school doors. So you had to go in through the front, and then you had to explain yourself. Am I going to do that every day? Explain why I'm late every day for Batman? If it was going to come to that, I guess I would just drop out entirely, which junior high is not really going to happen. Like, it's just, yeah, it doesn't... Things weren't going to be different. Come on. Like, you just go back and rule the whole school because you have a 30-year-old or 40-year-old's view of the world. Like, that's really worth shit. I knew how things worked in junior high. Didn't mean I could change them. All right, I'm rambling. Anyway, the point is, got an extra hour of writing in at the old Duff Mall. That's my 4 hours for the day. Now if I go home, play some video games, I won't feel bad. Man, I also, if I had to do a job and to try to squeeze in 3 or 4 hours of writing a day, like, I just wouldn't be able to. Like, I would just be mentally too exhausted to do that, especially day after day. God bless my mother and the fact that I don't have to go to work. See, I mean, I keep, I should get a job, and then I just never do. So I finally just kind of stopped kidding myself about it, but it's like, but then what am I doing? I definitely feel much better now that I'm taking a big chunk of the day to do writing. Like, I am doing something that really could actually go someplace, maybe. Even if it doesn't, I mean, at least I'm doing something. I'm not just... I mean, I was never whiling away the time. I exaggerate how much time I spend lazing about, because I really work quite a bit on my own little shit. But this just seems a lot more legit. I don't know, again, I'm just rambling. Dude just walked by with like a leather jacket and a sort of wide mohawk with his pals, looking all tough. They're all a foot shorter than me. I don't know. I just think that's a nice thing, man. I'm part of the 4% people over 6 feet tall. And there is just something fundamental there that it's like, yeah, you're probably tougher than me in every respect. But you're always going to feel short when you walk by. Man, I'm a dickhead. All right, so one more song to finish this off. I haven't played this song in ages. I don't know if I ever really played it on ham radio. I must have, but it was definitely in an old XO. It's an early Mart song called Him and Her, and it's super beautiful. Oh, right, just for bookkeeping purposes. That second Gallows song. Instead, I played Last June instead. I changed my mind. Anyway, early Mart, Him and Her. Thank you.
ever get to sleep, I'll be deep inside my dreams when no one bothers me. Where things are not what they seem, falling backwards to the forward, strange and beautifully. Deep in